I'm John Glover. I was Lionel Luther on Smallville, and I will always, always hold on to Smallville. And I hope you all do too.
Welcome to Always on Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of The Young Superman Show, the run from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and we're back with our mailbag number 8, part 2, Deathly Hallows. and of course, that means I'm joined again by Mr. Lance Laster.
What up?
And Mr. Nick Ryan Bagdoza.
Great to be back.
And we're going to pick it up where we left off with the mailbag and get through the second half of it. So like I said, every 4 mailbags will be 2 parts. That's the new rule. but yeah, let's get back into the iTunes/Apple podcast reviews, the emails, all that good stuff. So where do we start? Let's get started.
Yes.
All right. So our next email is from Jasmine Magelli. Loving it. Zach and friends.
Hey.
That's y'all.
Oh, that's us.
Today marks the 19th anniversary of Smallville's pilot premiering in New Zealand. 02. That's a cool date right there. Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day! That's when I launched the podcast on Groundhog Day in 2016. Anyway, I watched Smallville that night, finished the episode, and thought, what the hell was that? Who are all these random characters? This doesn't have a Superman vibe. The actor playing Clark Kent's completely miscast and doesn't have the right look. I disliked it so much, I didn't bother with subsequent episodes. Fast forward to 2010, and Smallville Season 9, Episode 15, Escape, was on TV. I started watching and I thought, my favorite comic book couple are together. They're working at the Daily Planet. It has a Superman vibe, and the actor playing Clark Kent had the right look. I continued to watch it each week and eagerly waited the finale to see Clark in the suit. I was so disappointed, and even Lex's return meant nothing to me since I'd only seen him in the pilot episode. Yikes. Fast forward again to the end of 2018, when I had a really rough day. My daughter had brought me the Smallville box set months earlier, and I remember having vivid flashbacks to how much I hated the pilot. I only started watching it because it had 10 seasons and knew it would take a while to finish. I couldn't get enough of Smallville after finishing the series. I came across your podcast early last year and binged all the episodes within a couple of months.
Wow.
All the hosts are great, and I love listening to everyone's experiences, both Smallville and non-Smallville related. I just wanted to give a huge shout out to all the fans that stayed loyal to Smallville and to show my appreciation for your podcast. Each episode allows me to experience what it would have been like to watch Smallville weekly, and I especially enjoy listening to everyone share their love for Smallville and Superman. Sorry for the lengthy email, but that's what happens when it takes nearly 17 years to finally watch the first and second episodes back to back and for me to realize my love for Smallville. A huge thank to Zach and everyone involved with the podcast, and keep up the great work. Jasmine Magelli Trumbull. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
That's a journey right there.
That is
a fandom.
That's quite a journey.
So, Escape, huh? That's the one where they go to the bed and breakfast with Oliver and Chloe and Clark and Lois, which was a necessary episode at that point
because
there's a lot of inappropriate relationships have formed over the course of these 9 years, and
you got to
clean that up. You got to clean that up. when your best friend who was in love with you is now dating your new best friend, whose ex is your current
girlfriend
who you're gonna marry.
Yeah.
Oh, and those two are cousins, by the way.
Uh-huh.
It's complicated, but hey, it's the CW.
It's the CW, so
it definitely is.
Nick, did you like that Chloe and Lois were cousins?
not really. It kind of felt like lazy writing. So like, how do we introduce this character without just bringing someone new?
Thank you. They thought it would like soften the blow. They're like, okay, we know that you love this character, but we have to replace her with the character who you wanted her to be all along. So we'll just make them related. That's cool, right? I'm like, no, that's not. That doesn't make it better.
Yep.
That actually makes it worse somehow.
Makes it worse.
Yep. It's the addition of extra family members.
This secret cousins. Never shared screen time before, but yep, been here all along. We're BFFs. Right. But no, that's interesting. That is a really interesting journey to Smallville, Jasmine. I'm glad you found the show, rediscovered the show, found the podcast. That is funny. You're like, I don't care about Lex. I only seen him that one time. Yep. Who's this guy? And then we're disappointed about Clark not being in the suit. Join the party.
Yeah.
So, but no, thank you. Thank you so much for the email, and glad you're enjoying the show.
Yeah. All right. Next up, I get to read another email from the legend. And this is subject line is 5th anniversary. Zach, 2016. Has it been that long? Time flies when you're having fun. Good job, my man. Thanks for all the great audio you've given me, a great deal of listening throughout the years. I very much look forward to meeting you in person if the Smallville meetup tour happens. You got to see the Smallville farm in person. Up, up, and away. CMO. I like that.
Thanks, Corey. Yeah, I've been doing this for 5 years.
That's right.
Oh, my gosh.
This rate, I'll be doing it 5 more years, but that's fine. You know, it's about the journey, not the destination. So, wouldn't it be funny if, like, see, the equivalent, I just thought of this, like, just now. I'm so proud of myself. The equivalent of Clark not putting on the costume in the finale, it'd be if I just stopped and didn't cover the series finale. Like, I think it's, you know what? You guys go on that journey yourselves. That's not the story we're telling here. Yep. Come on. But thanks, Corey. So I don't know. I really don't know when this will end at this point. I mean, Smallville will end at some point.
Yes.
But we got to keep these. We got to always hold on to as a franchise now.
Mm-hmm.
Always hold on to the franchise.
Yeah.
All right. With that said, we're going to go on to another email from Olav Stenerud, titled Streaming. I am a Norwegian listener to your podcast. Hello. I have tried to find streaming services in Norway here where I can stream Smallville, but it doesn't seem to be anywhere on the Norwegian platform. I have all of the 10 seasons on DVD and watched them several times, of course. My worries now is that since I cannot find Smallville anywhere, there's a possibility that they don't show Superman and Lois in Norway either. My question to you is, therefore, do you know where can I stream Smallville and Superman and Lois? Or do you know someone I can ask? I'm just so excited for the new show. I would like to see Smallville on other devices than my TV. Hope my English is understandable. Yours sincerely, Olav. Now, do you have, Zach, do you have sponsors? Because this is a really great chance if you had a sponsor like NordVPN.
Nick has been watching too many YouTube videos.
Yep.
That's exactly the kind of message you segue into your, well, this video is supposed to be NordVPN. Well, I think, I know for a fact that Smallville's on the iTunes store. Is that what it's called? The Apple store or whatever?
Yeah.
You could buy each episode off there and then stream it from your devices. Superman and Lois, I don't know if it's there yet or not. HBO Max is not everywhere in the world, so I don't know. Like, I know that they are putting episodes there from Superman Lois on HBO Max, and then Smallville, of course, is on Hulu. But I, you know, territorial differences and stuff. So I honestly, I don't know. I think iTunes is your best if you want to get the show to be able to stream. I think iTunes is your best bet. Wish I had a better answer for you, Olaf, but thank you for the email. All right, Corey Moore. Send us another email. Trespass. Corey sends me pretty much an email almost after every episode, giving me his thoughts. So, as a well-deserved contributor and patron of the podcast, he gets most of his bread.
Yes.
So that's why he's. I think 30% of this mailbag is Corey Moore.
That's true.
But that is why. Well, I actually think the next 4 emails are from Corey. So, okay, so buckle in, Corey. You earned it, buddy. All right, so Trespass. Zach, the Geek of Steel, what a nickname. He was such a fun guest host. Have him on again. That's Luke Bug. He does the Geek of Steel podcast. He was fun to have on. Mm-hmm. Definitely have plans to have him back on down the line. For Smallville standards, the Trespass episode was pretty average. I do like the plot of Lana becoming proactive about finding out Clark's secret, leading to her confirming her suspicions in the Promise episode. My favorite scene in Trespass is when Lana is in Clark's room and finds her old necklace. That's a great scene. That's right. People are always going through your stuff. Trespass grades at a C+ from me. Super Bowl prediction. Kansas City 38, Tampa Bay 35, Mahomes MVP. Brady loses another Super Bowl. John Elway is still the best quarterback of all time. Lance, what was the Super Bowl score?
It was Tom Brady kicking Kansas City's ass. And Tom Brady has his seventh Super Bowl.
I just forgot the score, but it was not. First of all, Tampa Bay won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was not that close.
No.
So with football over now, will there be an always on to baseball? I'd play in a fantasy baseball league. Up, up, and away, more Geek of Steel. There you go. You know, we used to play fantasy baseball, but it's just so involved.
We played fantasy baseball for 10 years.
10 years, that's right. As any good thing should last, 10 years.
We were hardcore about it for 10 years.
Yeah. And I won. The last year.
The last year. I was about to say.
And then you got to be like MJ. You walk away on top. and then you come back and for two dumb seasons for you should never come back for.
I won it three times.
Well, did you run it three times twice?
Unfortunately.
With two years off in between.
No, that's unfortunately.
Anyway. So, no, I don't think we're going to do always on the baseball. Although, I don't know. We got a lot of baseball. It's funny whenever you start talking to people. I think, obviously, Chris Fuchs is a huge Yankees fan. Yep. And Kev is trying to find a team. I think he's like between the White Sox and the Angels,
Well, it's the White Sox, but like his favorite player is Ohtani. And I can't blame him.
I feel kind of responsible because we brought him in on the Astros hype train and look how that turned out.
I know, right?
I think one of the funniest revelations I had about people being a baseball fan is we were recording one of our season 6 podcasts with Darren.
Darren Kirsch. I was just about to bring him.
And we were talking about
shout
the baseball.
Shout out to you, Darren.
And the Astros had literally just swept the Twins in two games.
Yes.
We were tied, and I'm like, oh, Darren, do you like baseball? Who's your team? He's like, the Twins. I was like, oh, no. I'm sorry, Darren.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe obviously we're going to do always on football again.
Yes.
Everyone who was a part of it is going to have first right to come back, mm-hmm. and then we'll see if there's any open spots anymore. If the Astros win, the Astros win the World Series this year, then we'll do always on to baseball.
Fair.
No Springer, no Verlander, no Cole, no buzzers, no cameras, no trash cans.
No
We're
problem.
Still the best team in the American League.
That is true. So as Jill Scott says, hate on me, hater. Anyway, so next up, Corey. Another email from you, bro. So this one goes on to say, this is a... The subject line is Freak. Zach, nice conversation with Tyler Patrick about the Freak episode. Last week you had the Geek of Steel on the podcast. Is Tyler the Freak of Steel? That's funny.
This is why we read your emails, Corey. There's many reasons. This is
lately I've been listening to your fresh new episodes. While I'm driving at work, it always makes my work day. Thank you for all you do. What I really liked about the Freak episode was the idea of a meteor freak who could identify others who are infected. On top of that, he's blind. What a brilliant idea. It was fun seeing Lana and Chloe at the bowling alley, but my favorite was when Chloe asked Clark to use his heat vision to get the tracking device out of her. Very powerful acting from Allison Mack and excellent heat vision. During your review, I heard you talk about another tally board edition. Maybe you should have tracked the red shirt, blue jacket. I think I know someone who could go back and find that. Fun fact, this Moore is colorblind. Last May for my birthday, I received colorblind glasses, and it changed my life forever. So I could put my glasses on and super speed through, tally up all the red shirt, blue jackets. What do you think?
So there's glasses you can put on that correct? For being colorblind?
Apparently.
Yes. I am partially colorblind. I am red deficient, and I haven't bought them because they're expensive. But I don't know how colorblind I am, as in, like, if it would be a big change. But it's getting cheaper and cheaper to get them, so I've been considering it. It's actually been coming up in more conversations recently, so maybe this is a sign.
Interesting. So was it green and red mainly, Nick? You can't tell the difference? That's what I've... Heard from most colorblind people.
Yeah, so red deficient for me, it's green and reds, purples and blues. So anything, it's like a primary color mixed with the red, I have issues seeing.
Okay, so, interesting.
It's not invisible, I did not know that. Like people think, but it's I just can't differentiate.
Gotcha.
Cool. All right. Well, he goes on to say, finishing up this email, speaking of freaks, how about that Tom Brady? 7 Super Bowl wins. My prediction of a Kansas City 38 versus Tom Brady 35 was way off.
Brady is a Tampa Bay or Tom Brady? Might as well be.
Might as well be Tom Brady.
That's why he went there. It's genius.
John Elway is still the best quarterback I've seen. Sorry, Tom. But I might still be bitter about the Seahawks losing the Super Bowl to the Patriot Cheats. If the Seahawks would have just ran the ball with Marshawn Lynch at the 1 yard line, I wouldn't be so bitter. Up, up, and away. No more 1 yard passes to Malcolm Butler. Okay, so if you don't mind, I would like
sports
to go,
minute.
I would like to go in on this. Okay, so
please. Sports minute.
So Corey,
you're the perfect one to have read. See, sometimes these work out.
Sometimes these work out.
This is the perfect one to have read this one. Please,
Corey, I 100% agree with you about the Seahawks and their Super Bowl. That is, I cannot get over how Pete Carroll still has a job after he's botched two championship games in such ridiculous fashion. Like the fourth down play against Texas when he was coaching UT, and then
there you go. He was playing the greatest quarterback of all time, Vince Young.
There it is. And we know what would have happened if he would have played Case Keenum. Like, you know, so there was that, and then the decision to have Russell Wilson throw. On that part, like, there's some people who defend that play. It's like, oh, you just got to keep them honest, and they knew he was gonna, like, no. Like, you do what got you there, and what got you there was freaking Marshawn Lynch. It is mind-boggling that he just threw away a Super Bowl title to do that in that situation. It's inexcusable, absolutely inexcusable. Also funny that you you bring up the I like your nickname for the Patriot cheats. But it's funny how, like, you know, outside of people who've lost to the Patriots, just the people in general, right? Everybody knows that team cheats, right? And yet, for the most part, nobody has a problem with it. Like, it's just an understood thing that's what they do, right? And they're just like, oh, the Patriot way got us again. Like, that's how people react to them. And it's just it's an interesting observation. I'll leave it at that. But yeah, no more 1 yard passes to Malcolm Butler. Definitely don't do that.
Nick, any football takes?
Sports are great. I did my first fantasy football 2 years ago, and I actually got second place. And the reason why I did it is because someone told me it's really all about stats. If you can read stats, you can do well. And yeah, but maybe next time I'm invited to another league, I'll look into it a little bit more.
Okay.
I got more into baseball recently just because of the Astros. I jumped on that bandwagon, so mm-hmm. I haven't really looked into much of football. The most football interaction I had was marching band. So actually, I don't think I've been to a football game. Yeah, I haven't been to a football game. I've only been to
the bandwagon. We need to, Lance and I were talking about this, we need to go to a Dulles game.
Yes.
Sometime soon. So we'll talk.
I've thought about a Dulles concert, but I'm also like thinking to myself, it's kind of weird if you just go by yourself.
Well, we'll go together. It's fine.
Yeah. Awesome.
Well, what's weirder than one creepy 30-year-old dude going to a high school concert? Three creepy 30-year-old dudes going to a high school concert.
But then it's more of a reunion when there's more than three. When there's more than one. Oh yeah, we're just getting together. Just see how.
I just love high school band. What do we want to have? It's weird about that. Anyway, we'll make it happen.
We should go. We should go to band night.
Oh, band. See all the okay.
Oh,
all
right.
That's what we should do because they still do it.
So if you want to see me, Lance, Nick, in person, go to Mercer Stadium on band night 2021. We'll have a booth outside signing autographs.
Oh, that would be so funny.
And then we'll see Mr. Pruitt come up to us and be like, y'all are still talking about that show?
That's still on?
All right. I'll continue on with Corey. Email Superman Special number 17, Superman and Lois. Hey, Zach, guess what? I forgot to record the Superman and Lois episode when it aired on Tuesday, but thankfully, I caught the repeat on Saturday. This TV show rules, all in caps with 10 exclamation points, maybe a little bit less, but I'm hooked, and my DVR is set to record all of its new episodes. Ever since Smallville ended in the year 2000 and something.
In the year 2000!
I've been searching for a TV show to fill the gap, and now I think I found it. The twin boys for Lois and Clark was an excellent idea that taps into a large demographic. Couples with children and then teen audiences can relate to it. This pilot gets an A grade from me, and my favorite scene is when Clark picks up the truck to show his boys that he's Superman. Like a boss. P.S. Did I read that correctly on Facebook? You're starting a Superman Lois podcast? Count me in. Up, up, and away. More Lex power suit, please. Now, this is a show that I want to... Now this is a show I wanted to start, the Superman and Lois, but I was going to wait to see what you guys thought. So
You mean in our podcast that we publish every week?
Yeah,
from
there's a Superman and Lois podcast.
I know, but what I was trying to say is, I haven't started
what's
yet
because
I
want to know.
Do I even still watch TV? Is actually my question to what I think to it.
So you haven't watched Superman and Lois.
I haven't watched Superman and Lois, but
okay.
I've
well,
heard
we
great things.
Yeah.
Okay. Is it good? But it's on.
Glad
CW.
It took you this long to ask.
Yes.
I've seen all the raves on Twitter, and it's just one of those shows that it's been on my list, but I have such a list of things to watch that I never get to that list. So.
No, I know how you feel, but you know, it's nice. It's like to be selectively plugged into things as they happen, you know, because I've thought this too, like, oh, I'll just catch up on it later. But then you miss the entire like experience of like,
right.
There's something intangible about the whole, I mean, it's how we all used to watch TV before the age of streaming and all these things, right? Mm-hmm. So now everybody kind of, it's more of a community feel to it when we're all watching the stuff
like
together. So that's why I am glad that I've plugged back into the Arrowverse with this show. None of the other shows, but this show.
Does the Arrowverse kind of melt, like, leak into the show?
We do not have time to figure that out on this conversation.
Yeah, the only thing that has leaked in so far is Diggle.
Okay, that's fair. That's fine. It's one of those things where when I know a new show's coming, I know it's also another commitment for the week, which is one of those things that I have to discuss with myself. So it sounds like this is probably worth the commitment. Even I think there's only like 3 or 2 episodes left in the season, but
there's
I
four
guess
left
I could catch
as of this recording.
Four.
Yeah.
Awesome. Okay. I could probably catch up.
So just wait till it ends and get everything spoiled online and then you can watch. So Corey does say like, oh, my favorite scene is when Clark picks up the truck to show his boys to Superman, right? A good scene. But I always go back to this, and Tyler Hoechlin has really gone up in my estimation, and I mean, I liked him when he first showed up in Supergirl back in the day. Like, that was great. And then, I don't know, I feel like they kind of didn't know how to use him for so long, but now they've finally figured it out, so he's back. But again, I pointed to that scene where he's like, he takes off his glasses to show his kids he's Superman, and I'm like, yeah, you look like the same exact person, just not wearing glasses anymore. As opposed to Christopher Reeve, right, or even Brandon Routh, right, where it's like there's a shift.
Yeah.
Like you can see, like, I'm going to stand up straighter and kind of, there's just something about that. And that's the thing, like, of all the things about Tyler Hoechlin, I think he's doing a great job, but I would like more of a distinction between Clark and Superman. So that's where I am on it. Yeah. Well, but again, I'm the Smallville guy. Who am I to talk?
That's true. I do agree with Corey though, that like about like favorite scene in the pilot episode. Cause that is my favorite, and mostly because of the music that goes behind that scene.
Da 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 da. Corey's Houston Comets 4-in-a-row streak has now come to a close in his last email here.
Shout out to the
back
Comets.
Back to back to back,
yeah,
WNBA champions.
Yeah. That's right.
Shout out.
I'd say
to
we
the
can go
WNBA.
To a Comets game, but they don't exist anymore.
For real.
So.
Like we would go, but like we don't have a team
why,
here.
Lance, why don't the Comets exist anymore?
There were some business things that happened.
So they didn't get like moved. They just got like they ended. Mm-hmm. They disbanded. They contracted. Anyway. Corey Moore wrote, last email on the stretch here, Superman Lois podcast. Hey, Zach, wait for it. Sarah, I'm super excited. You two are doing a podcast on the Superman and Lois TV show. I just listened to your conversation on the pilot episode, and I really enjoyed it. Sarah was great. I like her viewpoint and opinions. Some stuff she pointed out I didn't even notice. For example, the it went by so fast thing on the wall and the flashlights the boys were using in the barn. Teenage boys definitely would have used their lights from their phones, so she's right there. But as a man who owns a barn, yes, a few flashlights available and a crowbar laying around. Gotta get that farm work done. I was waiting for a letter grade at the end from y'all. Tally board? What do you need from me to tally up the pilot episode? Haha, up, up, and away. Cousin Moore. I don't want to push it too far. This Sarah and all this ridiculous nonsense we do on these other podcasts.
Yep.
So we're just not going to do all that stuff. But at the end we've been trying to say now if we liked it or not. So there you go. So thank you, Corey. I'm glad you're enjoying the new podcast.
Yeah. Next up, we have an iTunes review from Scott Tidwell, and it's a 5-star review titled "Enjoyable Walking Through Smallville." Fellow Superman fan myself, this is a refreshing look at all things that surround the greatest superhero of all time, not to mention the dive into the new series. Keep up the great work.
Well, thank you, Scott. good to know that you're enjoying the new coverage mm-hmm. of Superman and Lois and everything else Superman related. Because, you know, we always know Smallville's always the number one thing here.
Yes.
But Smallville is part of a greatest Superman mythology. And when stuff comes up, we have Superman specials. And it's such a unique, and again, circling back to the last email, like for me and Sarah doing the podcast together, like it was such a unique opportunity for us to kind of have a good entry point in this stuff. Mm-hmm. Superman and Lois, title of the show, you know, her and I. So that's why we're doing it. And I'm glad we are. You know,
yes.
I mean, we could have waited like, you know, 15 years from now and be like, hey, this will be, but it's just not the same,
yeah.
You know, so anyway.
Right.
But thank you as always. Thank you for the iTunes reviews. That really helps us get some awareness out there because apparently that's how the algorithm works. Mm-hmm. The more likes and comments and ratings you get, the higher it pops up on people's recommendations and stuff. So yes. Thank you, Scott.
All right, and speaking of specials, this one is from Isaiah Goodridge.
That's a good, that's Steel. A cool name.
That is actually really nice.
I wish my name was Isaiah Goodridge.
Always all on right. The small barrel with Isaiah Goodridge.
Right? How much more listenable is that than this nonsense? Anyway.
Anyways, his title of his email is Man of Steel Plot Hole. Hey, Zach, with an H. So, I was listening to your podcast about Man of Steel on the road to the Snyder Cut and wanted to give my 2 cents on the plot hole you pointed out. This is completely my conjecture, so take it as you will, I suppose. LOL. From what I understood in the movie, Krypton as a planet was much larger, denser, and had an older sun in relation to Earth. The reason why Kryptonians have powers on Earth are not only due to the yellow sun, but a lighter, more rejuvenating atmosphere, along with a lighter gravitational pull. With this in mind, the reason why the battle-suited Kryptonians displayed super strength, speed, and enhanced leaping ability was due to the Earth's atmosphere and gravity, etc. In other words, while the battle suits on Krypton might have only provided limited enhancement in relation to Krypton's environment, everything was amplified on Earth's environment. This is why we do not actually see battle-suited Kryptonians display actual powers, i.e., X-ray, microvision, heat vision, hearing, etc. We don't even see them flying. They only take large leaps rather than sustained airtime. Basically, the difference between Wonder Woman in BVS and Wonder Woman in Wonder Woman 84. They are not even completely invulnerable like superpowered Kryptonians. As when Feyora, with a question mark, takes the hit from the military missile, she is rendered unconscious and her suit is damaged as well. But as I said, this is just my interpretation and headcanon, but if seems iffy, that's perfectly fine. Hope to one day be a level 33.1 member eventually, and I continue to love your podcast. Thanks, Isaiah.
Well, thanks, Isaiah. Yeah, man. Whenever you're ready, we got a spot for you on level 33.1. Go to patreon.com/alwaysmallville when to sign up for our Patreon. But no, that's a good point there. That's kind of a revelation I had, you know, rewatching Man of Steel, doing the commentaries and stuff right recently. And I don't know, like I don't think they even know what the rules were.
Yep.
Right, for the Kryptonian. Nick, right. You know Man of Steel, the
yes,
movie.
I do.
That came out 8 years ago now.
Oh my god. I remember seeing it in the theater.
How old are we?
Did I see it with you guys? I probably
no, didn't. No. I don't think so. Do you see what kind of what you're talking? Because this is something last night I talked about. So what are your thoughts on this?
This is actually a pretty good explanation, headcanon thing. But if it's not said in the movie, is exactly what you're saying. When I think about it, yeah, I don't think they probably knew what to do exactly. Trying to make it be on the same level as Superman, because Superman also didn't know how he was. Maybe it's because they're four into the Earth that they didn't know exactly what their limits were.
Has no limits, Nick. But no, I mean, I just think they made such. I wouldn't even have thought about this. They didn't make such a big deal out of like, here, Superman, you're going to wear this mask to be in our environment
yes.
and stuff, right, or whatever, and then. He loses his powers immediately, right? And then they have to wear these masks to maintain their atmosphere, and yet they have superpowers. Like, mm-hmm. it makes no sense. And then Zod getting his powers when his mask gets ripped off, right? So, like, the movie, like, they go out of their way to show these things, and to me, that's why it becomes a question.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
If they didn't make any deal about this atmosphere nonsense, which no other Superman version has ever done,
mm-hmm.
right? I'd be like, oh, well, they all showed up, and they all have powers. So that's how it works. But... That is like you said though. That is a pretty good head. Nick, you're the headcanon guy. Always looking to help the writers out. So I agree with Isaiah's kind of if you're trying to connect the dots in a way that makes sense, this is a pretty decent explanation. I still think they just should have defined it better.
Yeah, they should have just defined it. Maybe there's a cut where they find it.
There's a cut for everything.
I'm sure there is. For everything.
There's a, when they're talking to the scientists, they're talking about, oh, this is why we have to do this.
I'm sure it'll be released on Vero at some point, the scenes where they clear all that up for us. So
very good. There's going to be some storyboards on Vero.
Yeah.
So. All right. So we have an iTunes review. Yeah. One star. iTunes review from Danny Go Round.
Mm-hmm.
Said, unnecessary. It's a movie, not a political statement. Get over yourself. So this, I assume, is in reference to our Justice League roundtable conversation. Zack Snyder and Justice League roundtable conversation ever came out. Nick, did you listen to that podcast?
I did not.
Very good.
Have you
seen Zack Snyder's Justice League?
I attempted to watch it.
Hold on.
Let me preface with this. I had an issue with it being black and white because my friend wanted me to watch it in black.
There's a color version.
I know. But so my friends wanted to watch it in black and white. So okay, I was like, all right, I'll wait and I'll watch it with you guys in black and white. And as we were watching it, I was like, okay, the black and white's really bothering me. And they're like, no. And then when I say attempted, I was kind of like on my phone while watching it because I was just looking up to see all the differences and stuff like that. And I told myself I'll eventually watch it in color, but I don't have HBO Max. So I haven't really got around the second time. So I watched it, I'm doing air quotes, but I wasn't really into it because the black and white was bothering me. So it's not really the movie's fault, it's the fault that someone else may be watching in black and white because that's what the group wanted to do. So
very good. Responding to this review, I assume this is about the conversation we had on the Justice League roundtable. It's about Lois Lane dying.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren Wynn, friend of the show, very upset about the fact Lois Lane was hinted at being killed in an apocalyptic future.
Mm-hmm.
She had a big problem with it, thought it was a sign of a greater problem with the use of the Lois Lane character overall.
Mm-hmm.
I disagreed, you know? I mean, I feel like they killed Lois Lane in Superman the movie.
Mm-hmm.
And again, undone by time travel there, and would have been undone by time travel in Justice League, because the whole point was everybody's dead almost in the future. She is one of those casualties, and the journey of the heroes is to restore the entire, you know, we saw Wonder Woman being dead, we saw Aquaman. Me and Lauren didn't agree on this, but that's fine. You know, it's okay to have different opinions. She took a pretty hard stance on it. So, you know what? That's her opinion, and I'm welcome to have people share their opinions on the podcast. You know, I'm sorry you felt so strong to leave us a one-star review about it, but, you know, that's just how it is, I guess. So, Lance, any kind of thoughts on that then? You were there?
I was there. And, well, his statement here, it's a movie, not a political statement. Get over yourself. Well, lots of things are political statements, regardless of how you feel about it, regardless if you think it is or not. And the fact that this struck a nerve because it does not align with your politics, I mean, not everything aligns with mine, but just because it aligned with yours and did not align with yours doesn't mean that you need to, I think, unnecessarily go one star, get over yourself. So that's a little childish on your part, I think, Danny. So
I mean, that's the, like, I'm not going to be like, oh my God, a one star review, my life is over, right? Because I have countless other 5-star reviews. So, but it's, you know, go into detail. You know, if you're gonna have a problem with it, let's have a conversation about it, or at least, you know, elaborate. Sorry, didn't like our Justice League conversation, I guess. So, moving on.
All right. So next is an email from Jordan Weigand. Hope I said that right, Jordan. And it says, subject line, great show and inspiration. Good afternoon. I started rewatching Smallville in January. It's my wife's first watch, and she's enjoying it so far as someone who is not a big DC fan. I have started listening to the recaps and have made it currently to season 3 recaps, and I'm on my season 5 rewatch, trying to catch up to your episode recaps in season 6. I love the whole crew, listen to some of the Superman specials, and even the most recent Zack Snyder Justice League episode. I've also started watching Superman and Lois and listening along with those recaps as well. I just wanted to say this has been a great listen and enjoy hearing everyone's thoughts on Superman, and this has become my go-to Superman-related podcast. Thank you for all the Superman content you've been putting out there for us Superman fans, and keep up the great work. Jordan Weigand, Bel Air, Maryland.
Bel Air.
Fresh Prince.
Will Smith. See you later. Well, thanks, Jordan. I'm glad you and your wife are enjoying watching Smallville together.
Mm-hmm.
And like I was saying earlier, you know, we do all kinds of Superman content now, so I'm glad we are your go-to Superman-related podcast. And, you know, that's why we kind of want to expand and do the things we do, you know, because, like, of course, Smallville's our, you know, our wheelhouse, right? Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you hear people have opinions about stuff, you're like, I wonder what they had to say about these other things.
Yeah.
And some people are going to be like, some people are just, I'm only here for Smallville. Great. You know, we're going to have Smallville content, might take some breaks in between the Smallville content, yeah. You know, so, but that's just the way of things, right? Mm-hmm. To cover some of this other stuff. So, you know, thanks a lot, Jordan. I appreciate that.
All right. And now we have a iTunes review by Anthony Lantern. Listen to Season 6, Episode 17, Combat. And it's a 5-star review. This podcast is fantastic, especially the 17th episode of Season 6. What a guest host. Who's the guest host for this one?
That was him.
Yeah.
What's funny is that I didn't know, so that's what's even funnier.
Yeah, I was a big fan of Anthony's YouTube stuff back in the day, so we kind of connected on Twitter, and it was great to have him on the podcast, and he'll be back in the future as well. So I love the the self gloss of the 5-star review. But no, that, you know what, that really was a great episode with a great guest host. So I agree. So everybody go check it out.
Yeah.
So. All right, our next email is from Corey Moore, titled Football. Hey, I really want to talk about this with someone, and you're the perfect one. Not too many are comic book fans and sports fans like you and I. Isn't that right, Nick?
Yes. Sports.
Have you noticed how the projected number one overall NFL pick, draft pick, Trevor Lawrence, looks like a John Romita Jr. comic character? You know, Romita Jr. has drawn Daredevil, Spider-Man, and Kick-Ass, to name a few. All of his faces look like Trevor Lawrence. Isn't that crazy? Corey, thoughts on that, Lance?
Corey, like you put this in, like, you worded this in like in like the perfect way. Cause like when you said that, like, that's all I could think about now. Like, it's like, this is, you're exactly right. It's spot on. Like, Trevor Lawrence does look like somebody that John Romita Jr. drew. It's hilarious. Like, now I can't look at John Romita's art the same anymore. I see Nick's face. He just
looking
up.
I'm looking at something. Do a comparison. I'm looking at the Superboy and Clark picture right now, comparing it to Trevor Lawrence.
It's so funny. But yeah, you're so right.
Hot take. I'm not a big fan of his artwork. like he did the main Superman book in the kind of the middle of the New 52, and everybody's really excited. And I was like, I don't know, man. It's very blocky.
He is a blocky.
Not the biggest fan of his artwork, but. He's a successful comic artist.
Yeah, he is.
Heard me. So, but no, good call out there on Trevor. Did Trevor Lawrence go number one?
Yeah, he did.
All right, there it is.
All right, so next we have a 5-star iTunes review from ETI Duat 91? Diat 91? I don't know. I'm sorry, I butchered that. But they go on to say, I've loved this podcast for a while now. I listen for the nostalgia when it comes to Smallville and the discussions on current superhero shows and other related content. It's basically the always hold on to extended universe at this point with the additional brother sister podcasts. I think this is a great group of people behind these podcasts. Well done.
Great group of people, yeah. Including yourself.
That's right.
Look at that.
Yeah.
So, no, thanks, ETID.91. Mm-hmm. I appreciate that. And yeah, so it really has become our own expanded universe or extended universe here. So thanks a lot
it's a
for that 5-star iTunes reviews. Yeah, we ain't got co-hosts.
We got
family.
We got
family.
So. Okay. Okay, thanks, Vin Diesel. All right, we got another email here from Corey Moore titled Phantom. Hey, a huge shout out to Kev. He's a fun podcaster. You two had a good time, and it was a great time for the listeners. Congrats on reviewing 6 full seasons of Smallville. I have really started to look forward to your Thursday releases. It makes work so enjoyable for me that day. Thank you. Your season 7 coverage can't come soon enough for this listener. This time I've watched the Phantom episode. I totally thought Lois and Chloe were going to merge together. And it would have been one of the many reasons why Clark would like Lois so much in the future. Clark's good friend merging with his future love. It made total sense, but no. Some of my favorite things in this episode is the old guy possessed by the Phantom and the young kid. That was some creepy. I really like the scene when Lex is running from the kid and then throws his scientist buddy in the way. But my favorite scene is between Lana and Lex when she tells him the marriage is over. I can't believe Lex backhanded Lana. I guess I shouldn't be too surprised. After all, he is the villain of the story. Some excellent acting from Michael and Kristen. Season 6 is not better than season 4. Up, Up, and Away, Mariner Moore.
Corey being a Seattle Mariners fan.
Yes.
Get another base. See, everybody's a team. Everybody's got a team. Oh, yeah. I had so much fun doing that podcast with Kev and just did the whole like 20 minute rant we went on about Chloe and Lois merging into one character. Yep. So, you know, it's people are like, hey, do you have any for like favorite moments podcasting? I've done so many, but that's definitely in recent memory. That's one of my favorite moments there of us just having fun about that because we, you know, because not a lot of people, Kev was on the Clois train, the Chlois yeah. train as well. So we connect in that way. So that was a lot of fun to do. But no, thanks, Corey. And I'm glad you enjoyed season 6. I don't know. I think season 6 is better than season 4. But well, one day we'll do like a ranking of everything because when you run out of topics, what do you do? Let's rank them.
That's right.
The top 10 Smallville seasons, number 6 will blow your mind. All right. So we have another 1-star iTunes review.
That's right.
Probably this is one of my favorite. This will also go on the box set of the podcast that I'll send out to all the patrons with its 52 CDs by Quinn Jet 11. Gatekeepers. A lot of negativity when scenes/characters don't play out the way they want them to. 1-star.
Okay.
Nick, what do you think about that? Is that accurate?
It's interesting because it's an opinion and we can't change the episode. And that's, you're listening to a podcast to listen to what people thought about it. Now, the fact that we're explaining why we probably don't like certain characters or the way they came up should be more of a reason to listen to it, just to hear other people's things. Like, have you listened to the other episodes as well, is what I wondered. Because all podcasts, if it doesn't go your way, it doesn't go your way. Just like we said before, there's different opinions, and that's why we have them on the show.
And also, like, what are you supposed to do? Like, if it doesn't go your way or if it doesn't go to your liking, are you supposed to be just like, well, great, that was awesome, that was great, guys? I mean, if you don't like something, are you supposed to just be like, yeah, that was great?
And also, I think the term gatekeepers is being misapplied here.
I agree.
Am I right. telling anyone that like they can't be fans of the like the gatekeepers, right? That's a buzzword that is developed in the last few years, right, in fandom. But I certainly don't see myself or anyone who's associated with the podcast as being a gatekeeper. I'm not telling someone they can't be a fan of any of these things. So yeah, I think that's really an unfair label to put on the show. But again, it's theirs, 1-star. I have countless more 5-star reviews, so I'm really not that concerned about it. Yeah. But sorry you think we're gatekeepers, Quinjet 11. Moving on.
All right. So next we have an email from Jack Marshall, and it's titled Smallville Season 6 Opinions. It says, hello, Zach. Congratulations on completing another season of Smallville. I just finished listening to your review of Phantom, and it was an absolute riot. I hope Cavante continues to guest on the podcast because he is always a joy to listen to. I agree. I also love the Zack Snyder Justice League and Superman and Lois coverage. Anyways, I wanted to share some of my thoughts on season 6. I mentioned in my previous email about season 5 that I enjoy season 6 more than most people seem to. My rankings of the seasons are always changing, but season 6 always gets the top half for me. I think the season has a lot going for it, like Green Arrow's storyline, the Phantoms, and Lex's full villain turn. I also feel season 6 has better momentum throughout the season, especially in the back half when compared to season 5. Of course, the season has its weak episodes, and this is the season of Lexana, which is unforgivable to some. However, I found the Lexana scenes in season 5 to be a whole lot worse. By this point, you're mostly over the initial shock of them being together, as you stated at various points throughout your reviews. The Lex and Lana scenes are there for the most part well acted, directed, and written. Now, I still don't like them being together, but I don't hate it, and it does lead to some interesting plots and scenes. Now let's get into some of the best episodes of the season. Zod is a great episode to start the season and epically concludes season 5 storyline while also setting up season 6's. Arrow is a terrific introduction to the Green Arrow, and Justin Hartley and Erica Durance have amazing chemistry together. Justice is obviously the highlight of the season, and for me, the entire show for that matter. Kyle Gallner kindly autographed a picture for me from this episode when I met him at a hotel I used to work at. He was there filming scenes for a film called Band of Brothers. He was a really awesome guy, and it was great to talk to him for a bit. Labyrinth is a very eerie episode and another standout. Promise is a very unique episode, and I really enjoyed the different character perspective. Combat has a top 3 fight scene for the entire show. Nemesis has some terrific Clark and Lex scenes, which are unfortunately few and far between. Lastly, Phantom is a packed episode with some crazy cliffhangers. You made some great points about the show's handling of Bizarro, but I loved it and was so surprised when they introduced him in the finale. Top five episodes of the season? Zod, Arrow, Justice, Labyrinth, Phantom. Bottom five episodes of the season? Fallout, Static, Subterranean, Trespass, and Progeny. Overall, I enjoyed the season and would rank it as an A-. I feel the season has two good overarching plots with the Phantoms and Lex's 33.1 experiments. Green Arrow has an enjoyable run of episodes, and they move Lois into the world of journalism. I also have a soft spot for this season since this is where I started watching the show live and getting involved in Krypton Site. Well, thanks for reading, and I already can't wait for season 7 and the infamous Veritas window. Jack Marshall.
Thanks, Jack. That was a very in-depth run out of season 6. I appreciate that. You know, I mean, emails like this are great. You know, when you're done with the season, kind of give everybody's recap everything, their thoughts on the top and the bottom five and all that kind of stuff. And that's a good point, right? Once I got over the fact that I didn't want Lex on it to happen, season 5, then season 6 was like, okay, this is what we're doing. I can accept that now. So that's a very good point about that. And that's a really cool story about Kyle Gallner. So, but no, thanks a lot, Jack, and keep on sending these kind of emails at the end of each season. I really appreciate the insight and thoughts on everything.
All right, we now have an iTunes 5-star review from Jow Hearts or How Hearts. I don't know how to say that. But carrying the torch, always hold on to Smallville is the ultimate compendium following the journey of Clark Kent becoming, spoiler, Superman.
Come on, you can't spoil the show like that. Come on.
Do we really get him in Superman, though, at the end?
Oh, there it is.
Second only to the show itself. Zach and his guest co-hosts have an intricate knowledge of both the lore and the general comic book sphere, which always brings interesting insights. Packed with all sorts of extra goodies, including commentaries and related feature films, this is the only podcast to have made me actually laugh out loud, much to the detriment of my fellow passengers. Always hold on to Smallville is the quintessential accompaniment to the show, and long may it rain. Long may it rain. Look at that. Love that.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Jaw Hearts. I really appreciate that. Carrying the torch, right? What a great title for that, too. And yeah, you know, again, I'm glad people are responding well to our coverage of outside Smallville. Because I think Smallville brings you here. And then if you're a fan of Smallville, again, some people are Smallville only, right? Mm-hmm. But other people, I mean, if you're going to be interested in other, you know, a big majority of the audience, I think, is a fandom in other Superman and DC Comics and superhero areas. So I'm glad we're kind of quenching that thirst for more coverage in those ways. And those are very flattering words. So thank you for the 5-star review. All right, we got another email here from Corey Moore. Super/Lois/TV is the title. This past week, I've been on vacation. It's been great. Getting a lot of farm chores done, just like Jonathan Kent. Today was tree cutting, bucking and limbing. I don't know what bucking is.
Yeah.
And limbing, bringing the wood back to the shed for axe splitting. Yes, I said axe because I'm tough, just like Jonathan Kent. Small version. Not really, I'm a wimp. That's what he says. It's been fun listening to you two talk about each episode. How cool is it to have a Superman show on TV? Our 11-year-old daughter has watched every episode with us, and she talks about how she can't wait for the next week's episode. I think the Superman bug has hit her. Soon I'll have to break out the Smallville and watch it with her, but I might have to fast forward through some of the thirsty parts. That's good parenting, my friend. Good parenting. You'll be pleased. This is my favorite part. You'll be pleased to know I let our daughter listen to your podcast, Always on Superman Lois, when we were driving to school. What was funny is she asked what was the beeping sound when Sarah would talk. I told her Zach beeped out the swear words. We had a good laugh. That's right, because we are a family show. Just like Late Night with Murray Franklin, we run a clean show here.
Okay.
So some quick thoughts on Super/Lois TV from me. I enjoy the TV show quite a bit, but it's no Smallville. That might sound like a diss, but it's not. Smallville was so good and hit me at the right time. Tyler Hoechlin does a really good job in the role of both Clark and Supes. I was skeptical of him at first, but now there's no doubt. He's very cool. And lastly, the lighting and darkness of the show is an odd choice. Have you noticed how every room is dark and tends to have dark lens over the camera? I really liked Smallville, how Smallville had a nice warm glow, especially the Kent Farm. Up, up, and away, more vacation. So, I see what you're saying there about the lighting. Mm-hmm. I'll start at the end and work backwards. But I think it's more like cinematic. You know, I know that's an overused term, but like, I really do like the, you can tell.
Cause cinema has to be dark.
That's correct. But Lance, you're still watching the other Arrowverse shows or something.
I am.
You can tell the production value difference between this show and those shows.
Yes.
I think that's like one of the best shots is when Superman's in shadow with that American flag behind him and all that. Like, that was really cool stuff. And that's the kind of stuff I think of. So I know what you're talking about there. And Lance, what are your thoughts about the censorship that I do on Always Sunny in Smallville and the family podcast?
I think it's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because you've experienced us uncensored.
Yeah, because I experience y'all like in real life, so it's I thoroughly enjoy y'all's podcast.
And is the dynamic on the podcast pretty accurate to real life as well?
It is very accurate to real life.
Okay, much like you and me.
Yes,
you know, like this is full transparency. We are bringing ourselves to these things.
It's true.
All right, we're not putting on secret identities when we do these podcasts.
That's correct.
But I'm glad that you and you know what. You're sharing the show with your daughter and the podcast with your daughter, Corey, and that's exactly
why. That's really cool.
I keep it a nice, clean show. So that's like a parenting right there, and getting your daughter getting bit by the Superman bug. Well done.
Mm-hmm.
Well done indeed. So thanks, Corey. And that leads nicely to our next email, actually, Lance.
Okay. All right. So this next email is from Mr. Alan Donahue, and its title is Mailbag Question. It says, "Hey, Zach, just curious if you ever plan on having children. Have you thought about how to introduce Superman / superhero movies into their lives? For our generation, it was pretty easy because we lived through each chapter as it happened. But now there is so much content that it will be available to younger kids. Do you go in chronological order? Does a show like Smallville make sense to just start without seeing Christopher Reeve movies or animated shows first? Do you show the kid Batman and Robin and then blow their mind with The Dark Knight right after, or skip Batman altogether and just jump start on Batwoman? There is so much legacy built into each show. Even something like Superman and Lois doesn't seem like a good start without some history behind it. I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. Thanks, Alan." What are your thoughts on that, Zach?
Well, that's a question for Always Sunny Superman and Lois, I think. Mm-hmm.
Not exactly a soup question, is it?
It's not exactly a soup question. Finding Forrester, a great movie. Everybody check it
out. Right.
So that should have been Sean Connery's last movie.
Agreed.
But anyway, I didn't write them. Jamal Wallace did. That's a great movie.
Yeah.
So, circling back to Corey's email, sharing the stuff with your kids, introducing it to your kids, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, it is true there was much less to choose from.
Yeah.
When we were kids, right? I mean, I just watched... I think like Adventures of Superman on Nick at Night,
mm-hmm.
right? That was big, and that was kind of a family friendly show, of course. And hand me down comic books from my dad, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So that's how I got introduced to it. So it's like, what do you start with this stuff? I don't know. Maybe the DCAU really is where I would start, because mm-hmm. that's like the gold standard. But then it's like, do you show them the best? And then nothing else lives up to that. That's the problem with the DCAU. It's like, well, everything else you see after this will not be as good and be disappointing,
yep.
right? That's what you gotta. But no, I would do it with the DCAU, and then slowly I guess chronologically, like, hey, we're gonna start with, well, again, you got the same problem. Christopher Reeve is the best. Nobody else is better. But we're gonna watch these four,
mm-hmm.
and all these pretenders show up later. One guy's kind of close because he's kind of playing the same version.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's 10 years of Smallville, right? So, I mean, I would show my kids Smallville starting, I think, their freshman year of high school.
Of course.
Because I think that's the best way to experience it.
Of course.
But anyway, definitely want to have kids one day, and that'll be the plan. So,
okay.
Give me your thoughts on that, Lance.
I agree with that.
What is Uncle Lance going to be showing my children when you're babysitting? So
I think that's the bigger question.
Oh, man. Going to come back with a bunch of Power Ranger Avatar.
That's right.
Fans for children.
That's right.
So, but yeah.
Man, thanks. Hate all that.
Yeah, we're gonna have a very, very cultivated list of things we can and cannot share with our children. You're gonna be teaching them trombone to be in marching band. That's
right.
What you're gonna be doing.
That's right.
So, that's an absolute. So, anyway. No, thanks for the question, Alan.
Yeah.
Those are good questions to have. And we're kind of moving to that phase of our life where Superman and Lois, they have kids now,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's like, it's good that they've, my media is finally forcing me to grow up.
Yeah.
So.
All right. We got another email from Romello Malone titled Lana Lang. Hi, Zach and Lance.
Yo.
If you're working with the CW or WB on Smallville, how would you have written Lana Lang out of the show? The reason I ask, I did like Lana in Smallville's season 1 and season 2, but she and her relationship with Clark got on my nerves in season 3 through season 8. I didn't like WB or CW had Lana Lang be in the show for so long and have Clark still in the eyes for her while Lois Lane is on the show, because I'm a Superman fan and Lois and Clark are my favorite couple in comics, along with Bruce Wayne and Selina Kyle, Peter Parker, Mary Jane, and I wish that whoever behind the scenes had Clark and Lois together already, instead of having Clark chase after Lana again and again and again and again. And I added it again, by the way. That's why I like Smallville season 9 and 10 so much, because the CW finally had Clark and Lois be together and didn't do that whole we don't like each other in the series, basically cat and mouse type of deal.
Well, thanks for the email, Romello. And yeah, no, I agree. You know, Lana, I guess you should have gone to Paris at the end of season 3. Lance?
I guess so. Yeah. We've said that before, right? Like that she should have.
I mean, they literally had the perfect way to write off the show.
Yeah,
but it was too soon. It was too soon, though, probably. Yeah. 3. I mean, I'm glad they got the stuff they had in 5 with her. But well, then, you know, we talked about on the Reckoning podcast, right? I mean, just kill her off.
Yeah.
Right. Make her the Gwen Stacy mm-hmm. of Smallville. You know, I don't know. I mean, I don't want Lana to die. Just like Felicity on Arrow. Like, I don't want you guys to die.
Yes.
I just want you to kind of like not be around making toxic relationships for the rest
exactly.
of the series. That's the
right.
problem.
Right.
Cole end up with Green Arrow. Have Lana end up with fill in the blank hero that shows up, right? And they go off, right? Same deal, right? So anyway, that's my thoughts on that. So, and Nick doesn't know how Lana left the show, so I'm not going to spoil it for you, Nick.
Yeah, actually, I was like, huh, that's right. She does leave the show, but I don't
know. She leaves, then she comes back and derails what was a great season up to that point. And then leaves again and never comes back.
Yep.
So that's okay. I'll leave it at that. So, all right. So we have another 5-star iTunes review from Matt Malecki 19, titled "This Podcast Brought Me Back to Smallville." Goes on to say, "When this show originally aired, I liked it, but fell off from watching it around season 4 or 5. Many did, as we found out in our lives. But with my Superman fandom steadily increasing over the years, I wanted to go back and finish Smallville. This podcast is the perfect companion for this series. Zach and his ever-changing rotation of guests are fun to listen to and very knowledgeable about the series. You can tell that Zach is a passionate Superman fan not only because of all the content he puts out for the show, but because of his boundless energy and enthusiasm in discussing all things Superman. Thanks for making this show, Zach. It's very much appreciated by this fellow Superman fan." Well, thank you, Matt. I do try to bring a certain energy to things in this and in my real life.
Yes.
So... That's my role here. Mm-hmm. So anyway, no, I mean that's really a real sweet review. I really do appreciate that, and thanks for your appreciation. I appreciate your appreciation. What I'm saying is it's a great review, and thank you for it.
Yeah. All right, next I got another mailbag question from Alan Donahue. It says, "Hey Zach, maybe it's time to spin off Always Hold On to Smallville with franchise fatigue to create multiverse fatigue. What started out as an awesome concept show now just feels like a marketing ploy, especially at Warner Brothers. In Lego Batman, they brought in all these IP villains like Gremlins, Voldemort, the Wicked Witch, and the Eye of Sauron, which was fun to see. 1 year later, Warner Bros. Released Ready Player One using pretty much the exact same thing. Seeing King Kong and Jurassic Park T-Rex in the same scene as the DeLorean was cool, but Ready Player One feels like a peak point. On Crisis on Infinite Earths had a lot of cool moments as well, but the new Space Jam seems to be overkill. Space Jam is pretty much using the same crossovers as the other movies, Batman, King Kong, Gremlins. With the next Spider-Man and Doctor Strange hinting at the same multiverse crossover shtick, do you think the Flash movie will lose its appeal? Michael Keaton should be worth it alone, but the multiverse stuff now just feels like fan service cash grab. It actually makes me appreciate some of the solo films like Wonder Woman and Shazam a little bit more. I'd love to hear your thoughts in the official announcement for Multiverse Fatigue podcast. Thanks."
The official announcement of the Multiverse Fatigue podcast. I think Lance should be the host of Multiverse Fatigue podcast. No, I mean, I think... I'm excited to see, you know, potentially Tobey Maguire back, and I guess Andrew Garfield, for sure. Mm-hmm. they're both better than Tom Holland as Iron Man Jr.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to see them back, and then, of course, Michael Keaton back. But no, I agree, this multiverse stuff is like, they're trying to be so clever.
Yep.
Right? They're just too clever for their own good with this stuff. And when, like, I think they underestimate the audience. Like, if we don't see both the versions right next to each other, they're not going to understand, right? You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you just make a Michael Keaton Batman movie, then people will understand that, oh, this follows up the other one. That's all you have to say. All right?
Yep.
And to make it very clear, the opening sequence should be last night of like Dark Knight Returns, first chapter, that all that stuff, right?
Yeah.
And then that can segue into Batman Beyond. And that's, and then everyone will understand that this is not a Batman 5 from those movies, mm-hmm. but a Batman 3 from the Burton movies. Anyway, that's how you should do it. We all talk about it. But I'm really looking forward to seeing that movie and the discourse that will be surrounding it. The internet is not even ready.
Yeah.
I love these old versions of the characters, obviously. I like some things, the new stuff that's going on, but I think they're going about it the wrong way.
Yep.
Right. As much as Lance and I joke about like, oh, I think this new thing that, I mean, we're pretty much on the same page about mm-hmm. it. So.
All right. Hello again, Romello. We have another email here called Superman. Christopher Reeve. Hey, Zach and Lance and the rest of the crew. Hey, that's me. I want to ask, but if Christopher Reeve was still around and didn't have the accident in 1995, do you think Warner Brothers would have had him return to play Superman again in the Flash 2022 film alongside Michael Keaton's Batman?
Well, I know Lance is very excited about this film, so I'll let you go first.
I think the answer is yes. And even if he was going to be in it, I would still be like, why are we making this? Like, just bring him back to play Superman instead of trying to cram him into a Flash movie that isn't starring the Flash or any of his characters or anything, has nothing to do with him. If people are excited about seeing Michael Keaton in a film, then have him be the star of the film. If the people are excited about having Michael Keaton back as Batman, then have him be the star of a Batman film. Don't have him be guest character in a movie that is supposed to be about the Flash.
Well, I know, I understand your hard stance on it, but again, no one would care about the Flash movie if not for Michael Keaton. So
then don't make the Flash movie. Just go straight into Michael Keaton.
They have to.
They do. No, they all, do not, actually.
All the Justice League characters are getting their own. Oh.
Oh. But yes, absolutely, Christopher Reeve would have come back at some point as Superman. I think he would have gone through a similar journey. It's like, okay, I'm Like a Mark Hamill, right? Kind of dreamer. Like, ah, I'm not doing that anymore. Years. Oh, yeah, I'll come back now. Because everything comes back around.
Yes.
You know, Adam West, same journey. Like, he didn't want to be Batman for so long, and now he totally embraced the character at the end. And his last two, you know, credits were, you know, voicing Batman in those animated shows. So, absolutely, I think, and obviously, Chris Reeve's injury was such a tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think they will still find a way to, we'll see CGI Chris Reeve somehow. And it's either as like a CGI statue, right? Or a picture. Like, they will, because I think they're going to try and meld all those worlds together. Like, they'll say Christopher Reeve was on the Michael Keaton Earth. Who knows, right? I'm, to quote Michael Scott, I'm ready to be heard again with this movie. Because I'm excited to see Michael Keaton's Batman back. I understand all Lance's problems with it. And I too, just wanted a Batman Beyond movie. But,
oh yeah,
like any fan of DC characters, I have no choice but to take what they give us, and this is all we're getting right now.
Right.
All right, I have an email from Daryl Washington titled, Oh Mother, Where Art Thou? This is in response to that episode of the same title mm-hmm. from Superman and Lois. He says, is the Morgan Edge reveal their way of saying that Adrian Pastar's Morgan Edge from Supergirl is the true Arrowverse iteration of the character? It's not like they plan on actually bringing Adrian Pastar over to the show. This will actually open up the possibility of Lois coming back to the planet, because after his inevitable defeat, Morgan Edge's, there won't be any reason she won't just be able to take her old job back. Did anyone else get Brightburn vibes when young Morgan killed that couple? And his plans are so one note. Terraforming Earth into Krypton? Hey, buddy, Zod tried to do that and ended up with his neck being snapped. So, I mean, all true.
Yeah.
I haven't seen Brightburn. At some point, I guess I will. Mm-hmm. I'm just not interested in that.
Yep.
story anymore of evil Superman, but yeah, it's totally what it was. And then yeah, they're kind of, every Superman movie or anything now is about terraforming Earth and Krypton. Kind of over it.
That's correct.
Smallville did it, you know. Superman Returns did it. Man of Steel did it. This is doing it. So I am very much looking forward to them moving past like season two. Right, somebody asked me on social media, when do you want to see him? Like, I don't know, Brainiac, Metallo, Mr. Mixes Pedelec, like, yeah, anything but the stuff about other Kryptonians, because mm-hmm. I understand why you go there with Superman. Like, it's a very easy tie-in, but like, can we move past that, please? Because he has a lot of other villains.
Yes, correct.
No, I don't think this is it. They're making Morgan Edge an alien has nothing to do with, because this is Morgan Edge. Mm-hmm. This is just them like recasting Morgan Edge, recasting Sam Lane. Jimmy Olsen remains to be seen.
Yep.
But this is them reestablishing themselves as, which is so weird to me.
I agree.
Right? Because these characters came out of that Supergirl mm-hmm. show. But it's completely ignoring it. It's very odd.
Yeah.
So
I agree. Yeah, it's weird. Not exactly sure what that's about, but, you know, I guess we're just going to have to be patient.
We shall see.
Got another email from Alan Donahue. This is a trifecta for me. Yeah.
Your official correspondent, yeah. Lance Alan Donahue.
And it says, hey, Zach, just wanted to say that I'm so happy you decided to do episode recaps of Superman and Lois after they aired, as opposed to waiting for the series to end. The banter with you and Sarah is great, and it's nice to hear predictions and theories, not knowing where the series will go. I just finished the episode 8 recap that touched upon Lois's miscarriage and thought those scenes were really powerful. It really reminded me of the Smallville episode where Zod literally listens to his unborn baby's heartbeat fade away. I think that was one of the most emotionally powerful moments of Smallville, and a lot of other TV as well. What do you think Smallville's most emotional moment was? Thanks, Alan Donahue.
That's a good question. There's a lot of good stuff in Smallville, right? Mm-hmm. Smallville hits you in the feels,
yeah,
a lot. You know, that question, you guys have heard me mention this in the podcast before, but I think of two things come to mind immediately. One would be in Kent in season 10, mm-hmm. when Clark is talking to alternate Jonathan, and he's like, you didn't have powers, but you were my hero, and
yeah.
you taught me what was right from wrong, and I'm like, oh, man, oh, we all wish we had mm-hmm. that in our lives, right? And so, and because the whole, you know, the whole show is about, like, family and fathers and sons and all that, to have, because Jonathan Kent had been gone for years yeah. by this point, right? And you really felt his absence on the show, because it wasn't like Dr. Will situation where there's like a new guy every season, mm-hmm. right? It's like, no, Jonathan Kent died in season 5. We saw a couple of visions and whatever. But then, you know, season 7, 8, 9, nowhere.
Yeah.
6, nowhere. I mean, there was stock footage and the retcon of Davis Bloom mm-hmm. crashing on Earth. But other than that, I mean, you really felt the loss. So when you saw him again, you felt like with Clark, like, oh my God, my dad, right?
Yeah.
And then to have that conversation. So anyway, to me, that's a big one. And then also in Fracture, in season 7, when Clark's inside Lex's mind, and there's like the good Lex is the kid, mm-hmm. the innocent one with the hair, and then the evil Lex is, you know, President Lex in the future, right? Those you know, interpret, there's manifestations, right?
Yeah.
And then he's like, I'm your best friend, Clark. And I was like, oh my God. Right. And at the end, he's like, I'm always going to be there to look out for you, right? Telling the, because, yeah. And that explains why Superman's always there looking out for Lex, mm-hmm. because he knows that, because Superman, like, you always have hope in people,
yeah.
right? Because the House of El, the symbol means that they
it's not an S.
believe in the potential for hope in every individual, right? But no, that really does explain. That is like a very subtle, like, applaud Smallville for their subtlety of, like, this is why Superman's always hanging around Lex and not, like, you know, he gives him the benefit of the doubt yeah. way more than he should, mm-hmm. you know, honestly, right? But that's who he is, right? So anyway, those are the things that come to mind for me. What about you, Lance?
Honestly, I think for me, the most emotional one is Clark and Martha watching the home video of Jonathan in his farewell episode.
Oh, that's another good one. Yeah.
I think that's it. Cause it's like, cause I've been there. I've been where Clark is. Right. So I think that's what it is for me.
Man. And you know, I remember that too. Like even that was, I felt that was more powerful than his actual death.
Yes, I agree.
Cause that like, because like you said, been there, been in those situations, you know, mm-hmm. like you can, this is good, literally waving goodbye to you
yes.
on the screen. Like, oh my gosh. So good stuff. And Nick, we want to ask you, cause we know you haven't watched like half the show and I'm sorry we spoiled all that, but yep. hey, what's our last email, Nick?
Email from Neil James for your next mailbag episode. Hello, Zach, Lance, and Nick. Oh my gosh, hey. It's actually my name. Well, I guess it's about time I wrote you guys for a mailbag episode to tell you what a fantastic, funny, and likable podcast this is. Seriously, be proud of it. In summer 2019, I had a family member in the hospital and found myself having to do a lot of long drives in order to visit frequently. I had a look at my DVD collection and wondered if anyone was insane enough to do a Smallville podcast covering every episode. And there it was. Always hold on to Smallville. I've watched season 1 of Smallville more than any other, probably because it's just such an easy watch. So I started listening to random season 1 episodes. But pretty soon I realized the hard work and passion that goes into this podcast, and I wanted to experience it properly with a full watch along. So, after hiatus, in March this year, I started both the podcast and Smallville from the beginning, and it's been awesome. The revolving guest hosts work well, and I have enjoyed every one of them. Personal favorites include Nick, Kraus, Nancy, Matts, Latham and Trix, Victoria, and of course, the heart of the Ghostbusters, Sir Lance Laster. Also, I hope you can tempt Rose Liston back. She was so cool. Zach, to me, you are now as much of a Superman Smallville legend as Reeve, Welling, Glover, and Rosenbaum. A truly likable, knowledgeable, and funny host. I enjoy the tally board and I've been doing one on my own. I've been logging all the guest host appearances on podcasts. Lance, you're way out in front, dude. And I will send it to you as soon as I'm caught up. As I type this, I'm currently 5 episodes into season 6, so I'm almost up to date, which brings me to my final point. I've only ever watched seasons 1 through 6, so when I'm caught up, every remaining episode of Smallville is going to be, say it with me, Nick, a fresh episode. I'm glad. Thank you so much for all the work that you put in. As you can tell, I'm a huge fan. Anyway, I'm off now to open the portal for Zod, so catch you next time. Neil James Thomas. P.S. Cheers for spoiling the finale about 50 times already. That one would be so fresh.
It's true. There you go, Nick. It's somebody else who hasn't watched the show to a certain point. So you guys have a lot in common there. And open the portal for Zod. Wait, that's a deep cut. Yep. So that's a true fan right there, knowing that we love that line. Uh-huh. So.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching it with you. Don't worry.
and for real, Neil, man, I appreciate it, man. I'm glad we could bring in some distractions, some comfort, some joy, and some tough times, right? That's what all these are for, too, right? There's I also have found shows or podcasts or whatever to kind of like going through tough stuff, and you just need something to kind of take your mind off it and and take you to a happy place mentally and emotionally. And I'm glad we're able to do that for you, man. That means a lot. You know, we have a lot of fun here, but you know, I as a fan myself of things, and I understand, I'm a fan of things, but you know what I mean? Like I understand that process as well. So that's real great to know that we're doing some good out there. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Season 1 as well with me, like it's the one I watched the most just because, you know, it's the first one and you rewatch the bus, and as far as love all the hosts, you know, everybody's always welcome back and love to have everybody's rotating voices on the podcast. That was part of the format. I know Lance and I talked about like, well, if I do this, do you want to be on like every episode or what? And he's like, well, I mean, maybe not. But I mean, and that's a shout out to you, Nick. I mean, you were there. Nick was one of the first people, him, me, Nick, Kraus, Nance, all those early, I mean, you've listened to a lot of early episodes there, Neil, the most that makes sense that you mentioned all those early hosts, but like, I think people have said like, yeah, it was like you and a bunch of friends from high school when you first started, and now it's like everybody across the world and the internet, and that's part of the fun of it, right? Yep. It's part of the journey. And Nick is like, we kind of joke about you're the mailbag guy now, but that's kind of your role now, and that's fine.
You did a
lot of hard work, heavy lifting when we first started being on a lot of episodes and doing the original artwork and all that. So thanks a lot, man. We do appreciate it.
Yeah, and I just wanted to say, it's kind of crazy 5 years later that this is how far everything has gone, and it's. Every single time when there's a mailbag, it's like, oh, yeah, definitely. Sign me up. I'll definitely be there. Now, I like I said, I'll eventually catch up. it's been amazing.
And as for spoiling the finale, I will say that almost every article about Smallville Online itself spoils the finale with the last shot of the show. It's always like such a misrepresentation of what this show is. You know, him ripping his shirt open on the roof. So misinterpreted that they released a Funko Pop. Right, it's Funko Pop itself has spoiled the show. So what are you going to do, right? But that means a lot, Neil. So thank you for that. That's a great email there. And hey, that's going to do it for us in our mailbag. Nick, man, if people want to find you out there online, where can they find you?
Oh, you guys can find me on both Twitter and Instagram. Twitter is going to be at Nick Ryan. I was one of the first people to sign up. So NICKRYAN. At Nick Ryan, and then Instagram is at nickryan.jpg. That I was not one of the first. So, follow me and let me know what you think.
Nick Ryan PNG and Nick Ryan BMP were taken. Yeah. So you had to do JPG.
JPG.
But, all right.
The lower float format.
What about you, Lance? Where can people find you out there online?
They can find me on all my social medias at Sir Lance Laster, and you can find me over on the United Federation of Podcasts, talking about all the things that make Arrow, Arrow, on Always Hold On to Arrow. And you can find us on Twitter at Do Not Fail Our Pod.
Alrighty, as for me, more on Zach on Twitter. That's MOREONZCH. Also do some shows on the United Federation of Podcasts. You can find us over there at UFP Earth. And then, of course, for the podcast here, Always Smallville with 1S on Twitter, Always on Smallville on Facebook, and you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Once again, with 1S. Keep those emails coming in. We'll all be back to read them next time for the next mailbag. iTunes reviews or Apple Podcast reviews as well. Very much appreciated. And until next time, always hold on to Smallville. Always Welcome to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cavante Chillis, Dallas Hernandez, Casey Cochran, Darren Kirsch, Joy Deanberg, JJ Hodges, DJ Duena, Jason Skipper, Nathan Rothacher, Jordan Brenneman, Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, Steve Rogers, Joe Mikendo, Molly Ficarella, Atif Sheik, John Curcio, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Mark Itzfoppen, Alex Ramsey, Jason Davis, Jacob Stevenart, Corey Moore, James Bandini II, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Clunk Kant, Patricia Carrillo, Jacob, Jason Short, Mariana Sachi, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Coso, Erica Flynn, Jared Gibbs, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine Pagelli, Keith Falls, Lauren D., and Cody Thomas. Thank you so much to all these patrons. And you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.
Somebody say
See, Nick, this is why you're just on the main mics now. Okay, that kind of nonsense.
No, this was fun.